We're going to get in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 this morning. It says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, Listen, all you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, Do not be afraid nor dismayed, because this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And I'm going to jump down to verse 21. Verse 21 says this, And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. We're going to stop there this morning. Well, Father, I thank you for your word today, Jesus. I thank you, God. It does have the power and the ability to change us. It's sharper than a double-edged sword, God. And Lord, there's many voices speaking today, voices of anxiety and fear, but your voice is a voice of rest, of joy, and of peace. So I thank you for your peace and for the power of your word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. What do you do when you don't know what to do? That's a question I want to start out this morning. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Have you ever been there before? Been in that place, don't have the answer, don't have the solution, don't know what the next step is? What do you do when you don't know what to do? And King Jehoshaphat, he was in this position. There was three armies that conspired against him, coming to attack them. Not one, but three. I mean, this is a bad day. I'm sure I've had some days like that. Can we just have a redo and wake up and be different? I'm sure he was like, man, this is not a good day. This is not looking good. They were conspiring, coming to attack them. And he simply just says, we are no match for them. We have no power against this great army, this great multitude. In other words, if it's up to our strength and our ability, we can't do this. If it's up to our own power, we're seriously going to lose. If it's up to our own intellect and our knowledge, man, we're not going to make through this. I mean, everything was stacked against them. The odds were stacked up against them. And I wonder if you've ever been in that position before in your life, where the odds are stacked up against you. And you find out in your own ability, your own strength, there's absolutely no way out. Am I talking to anybody this morning? Have you been there? Maybe you're there today. I think we've all been there from one point in time or another. And this is where they find themselves. All the odds are stacked up against them. And he basically says, if I'm being honest, I don't even know what to do right now. I don't know the next step. I don't know what to do this very second. I have no idea. I have no clue what to do in this situation. And if I'm being honest, I've been in this place several times. Not just once or twice, but I've been in several places in my own strength and my own ability. I have no clue what to do. I've been in those places several times. We find ourselves in that position. And it's because things in life cannot prepare you for some things. Some things just happen in life, and you're not prepared for it. I mean, I grew up in church. I went to church every Sunday. My parents had me in church. I mean, I knew the Bible stories. I learned about Joseph and Daniel and David. I heard all the Bible stories of Jonah the whale. I mean, I almost had perfect attendance. I had like gold stars every week because I did not miss. I mean, I heard it all. I could actually quote the books of the Bible from front to back. Not actually the whole Bible, but actually the names and chapters, the titles of the books of the Bible, because that's something that we learned. I learned a lot in church, and I had different sermons and all kinds of teachings throughout my life, but I found out there's some things that you cannot just be prepared for. Sometimes life just happens, and we find ourselves just like King Jehoshaphat in that very situation, making the same declaration, man, I don't know what to do. In my own strength and ability, I see no way out of this. In my own intellect, my own knowledge, I can't even figure this out right now. And even with all this pandemic going on, I don't think any of us were prepared for this thing. I don't think we saw this thing coming that we're living through right now. It's like, what do we do? How do we navigate through this? What do we do through all this? How do we respond? And I found out that I think Satan does his most clever work in times of uncertainty, in uncertain times. And we're definitely in uncertain times right now. I think that's when he does his absolutely best work, when times are uncertain, because we're dealing with this pandemic. But not only this pandemic, we've been dealing with these social injustices. And not only the pandemic, but the social injustices. We've been dealing with these burning of buildings and this rioting and all these things coming together. I mean, can you see where things are like just stacking together? And it's no coincidence it happens to be an election year. I mean, we got an election coming up in November. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening. I think a lot of things, you may not agree with me, but I think a lot of things have been demonically driven. It's been demonically driven because there's a lot of deception. There's a lot of division. He's trying to bring division in the body of Christ. And I'd like to say he's not doing a very good job, but I'd be lying because there is division right now. His weapons are deception and division. If I can deceive you, I can get you away from the truth. And if I can divide you, divide us. And for us to overcome the enemy, we got to understand that he is the root for all deception and division. He is the root of it all. I think he's kind of like a master magician. You know, he's showing you something in this hand right here. It has a sleight of hand, and you don't know what's going on over here in this left hand. Some of us are looking at the enemy, and he's showing us flowers. We're seeing it in this one hand here, but he's got a knife to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is what the Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." The enemy is working, he's deceiving, and he's dividing, but we're still standing by the grace of God, and we're going to continue to move forward in the name of Jesus. I like how the New Century Version says it. It says this, it starts out by saying, "We have troubles all around us, but we are not defeated." I came to make a declaration to you today that I might have trouble all around me today. It might be beside me, behind me, all around me. But I came to declare, I am not defeated. I'm still standing by the grace of God. I'm still moving forward in the name of Jesus. And I came to declare over you today, you might have trouble all around you in your life right now, but you are not defeated. You're still standing by the grace of God, still moving forward. Yeah, there's opposition. Yeah, there is adversity, but we are still praising God. We're still worshiping. We're still lifting up his name, magnifying him because he is still on the throne. He is good. He is faithful, and he is God. Trouble all around, but we're not defeated. I wish we could live a life without trouble. That would be so nice, wouldn't it? Just no troubles at all. He says, we have trouble all around, but we're not defeated. The next thing he says, we do not know what to do, but we do not give up the living hope of living. We are persecuted, but God does not leave us. We are hurt sometimes, but we are not destroyed. I really like that version. He clearly says, we do not know what to do. In the Old Testament, King Jehoshaphat, he says this, but now we see the Apostle Paul saying it in the New Testament. I do not know what to do. And I think we've got to get rid of this idea as Christians, we always know what to do. Sometimes we don't. Have you ever been around a person that always knows what to do? Always has the answer? They kind of scare me a little bit because make me a little nervous because I always find myself in situations where I do not know what to do repeatedly in these situations. So the question is, what do I do when I don't know what to do? What do I do? When I don't know what to do, I take this word right here. I go to the Word of God. I go to the Word of God. If I have a problem I cannot solve, I consult the Word. I consult Jesus. It says this word. It's like a light into my path, a lamp into my feet. If I can't figure it out, I go to this word. I expose my problem to this word and it illuminates my path and gives me steps of where to go. Everything is in this word. If you are confused, if you need direction, if you need insight, if you need wisdom, whatever you need, it's in this word. I go to the word of God. Through this word, it is living, it is powerful, it has the ability to show me God's will and God's plan for my life. Through this word, I'm more than an overcomer. Through this word, it has the ability to change my mind, my life, my attitude. And I think we've got to get back to seeing the value and the beauty of this word and get it in our hearts and begin to live it out. Because when I open this word, I receive life. I don't know about you. I receive life. I receive joy. I receive peace. I receive strength when I open up this word. When I don't know what to do, I go to the word of God. Any situation I find myself in, there's an answer in here. I just got to go. I got to pick it up, maybe wipe off the dust and find what God says. If you need a word, go to the Bible and God will speak to you. It's like he's whispering to your heart when you pick this up. He's whispering in your ear. When I don't know what to do, I go to the word of God. You know, they say about 75% of Americans, they go to sleep now with their cell phone next to their bed. Are you one of those? Unfortunately, I'm one of those. And I think we have an addiction problem. I'll just admit that to our phones. I would like to say I'm not, but I picked up my screen time the other day. I'm like, oh my gosh, I was on there how long? How many hours? Seriously? It's like sometimes I just do it subconsciously. I pick it up and Madeline's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just like subconsciously checking emails and clicking on stuff. It's like we have an addiction to these cell phones and stuff like that. But 75% of Americans, when they wake up, they pull up that phone, they begin to read the news, scroll through the digital news feed every morning. And I wonder how many of us are consuming more of the news than we are the Word of God. How many of us are consuming more of digital media than the Word of God? I wonder what that's going to produce in our life. Because whatever you ingest is what you're going to digest. It's no wonder we're digesting depression. We're digesting anxiety. We're digesting worry. We're digesting fear. It's so important in this season that we go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. It has actions in it, things to do. Some people are like, what is the will of God for my life? What does God call me to do? We try to sum it up into an occupation sometimes. We just try to narrow it down. But the will of God is in the Bible. He tells you what his will is. 1 Thessalonians, for example, rejoice always. Give thanks in all circumstances. Pray continually. That is the will of God for your life. Are you waking up every morning and rejoicing? Are you praying continually? Are you giving thanks in all circumstances? I want to do that every day. I admit I don't always do that. But that is the will of God for your life. That's what he desires and wants for you. It tells you what to do, and it tells us in a moment when we don't know what to do that we are to look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. King Jehoshaphat, he's like, I don't even know what to do, but the next thing he says, but our eyes are on you. We're looking to you, Jesus. Our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do, so we're looking to you. This is what it says in Psalms. It says Psalms 141. 8, it says, God, I look to you for help, and I trust in you, Lord. Hebrews 12, 1, it says, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. This is not a momentary glance. This is not you just come to Sunday for an hour and say, hey, Jesus, how are you doing? Open up the Word of God and be like, I'll see you next week, Jesus. Or open up your Bible, I'll open up next week. This is not a momentary glance, but this is a consistent, constant focus on Jesus, on his goodness, on his love, on his mercy, on his faithfulness, on his grace, and all that he is my healer, that he is my deliverer, that he is my strength, my portion, that I constantly focus on the Word of God, on his promises, looking for insight and for wisdom to direct me and lead me in every part of my life. This is a consistent, constant focus, keeping your eyes on Jesus. Have you ever seen those pictures where there's a picture of Jesus and his eyes follow you everywhere? I remember, I think it was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and they had like this Christian museum with all the Bible characters, and they're like wax characters. And I'll be honest with you, some of them were really creepy. I mean, it's like, I don't know if that's Joseph or if that's the caveman from the Geico commercial. I mean, there's like, some of these are a little creepy. But you get to the end of it, and there's like this big thing of Jesus, and his eyes are looking at you, and everywhere you go, his eyes follow you. And you're like, I remember his walking, I'm like, he's still following me. He's still looking at me. He's like, nope, still there. It's like, you just can't escape. It's like, okay, Jesus, this is a little creepy. You're just staring me down right now. But the truth is that God never takes his eyes off you. He never stops watching you, never stops looking over you, because it sounds like God's a stalker, but he just loves you so much, he doesn't want to take his eyes off of you. He's so intimately acquainted with every detail of your life that he wants to be such a part of your life. He never takes his eyes off of you. You are his son. You are his daughter. He loves you unconditionally. He wants to be with you, and he's got a smile on his face when he's looking at you. That's a good way for him to look at you. But the question and the challenge is not if not Jesus is looking at me, but am I looking at Jesus? That is the challenge and the question. Am I looking to him? Because that's what the Bible tells us to do. We don't want to do. We look to Jesus. It gives us an action. It gives us a step. We look to Jesus. Or are you distracted? There's a lot of things to distract us. In the Amplified Version, it says, I'm looking away from all that will distract us, and I'm focusing our eyes on Jesus. There's a lot of distractions out there, especially right now. There's a lot of noise going on in the world, a lot of voices speaking right now. It's a lot of stuff that can distract us. I don't think the news is inherently bad, but it can pull your focus off Jesus. It can mess up your faith. It can push you towards anxiety, fear, and worry. I'm not anti-social media, not against Facebook. But sometimes you can get caught up in everything on Facebook, because everybody has a thought and opinion on Facebook. And everybody thinks their thought is the best thought on Facebook. You can get caught up in all that, can become a distraction in your life. And the Bible talks about we got to remove all these distractions so I can focus on him and what he's saying. It's no wonder some of us can't hear him clearly, because we're so distracted and hearing so many other voices, and we got to shut them out and hear what he's saying and begin to look to him and focus on him and eliminate all those distractions. We look to Jesus. Jehoshaphat, he admits he's powerless to overcome what he's dealing with. He admits that he doesn't have the intellect or the knowledge to face the obstacle that's coming against him. He says, we're powerless against this great multitude. I don't even know what to do. But the key is he gives us, but I look to Jesus. I get my eyes on God. And God speaks when he does this. God says this in 2 Chronicles 20:17. He says, you will not need to fight in this battle, but you will have to position yourself. You will need to stand still and see the salvation that I'm going to bring you. I am with you, he says. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. But tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. It's what God speaks after he gets his eyes on him. You know, sometimes you just got to say, God's got it. I got to wake up in the morning and say, God's got it. God's got this virus thing. He's got it handled. God's got the elections in his hands. He's got everything. He's got my joy. He's got my peace. He's got it all. Got everything. You just got to have the mentality that says, no matter how things play out, I do know this, that God's got it. And I'm not going to move into fear, anxiety, or worry. I'm not going to be bent towards that way, because I know that God's got it. What do I do when I don't know what to do? I go to the Word. I get my eyes on Jesus. But then he says, position yourself. Position yourself. I want you to see the key word here, the second word after position. Who does it say to position? Yourself. Isn't it pretty interesting that we are really, really masterful about fixing other people? Like, it's a lot easier to position somebody else in a position yourself. Like, have you ever given maybe advice or maybe God advice to somebody and God's like, that was really meant for you. You needed that. And I think the key for this season right now is not to try to fix everybody else, but to position yourself. Get yourself in position. Get yourself in a position. Stop trying to fix everybody else, but start positioning yourself. What does that position look like? It looks like me getting maybe on my knees and praying and interceding. It's getting in step with heaven, getting in sync with heaven and what God is saying and doing on the earth. Maybe it's worshiping, beginning to lift my hands, getting into position. Maybe it's fasting. That's when I get into position. Because I think in this season, it's very important that we get in position. If you want to make it through this season, you've got to get in position. Raising your hands up high, that's the right position. A heart that is humble, that is the right position. A heart that has grace towards others, that is the right position. A heart that says, not my will, but your will be done, that is the right position. A heart that says, it's not about me, but it's all about your kingdom and your glory on the earth right now, that is the right position. Get yourself in position. What do I do when I don't know what to do? Get in position. Position yourself. But not only does he say that, he says, stand still. Stand still. There's a compulsion that I fight every day of my life called me, where I try to fix everything, where I try to figure it out on my own, where I try to do it. I don't like to stand still. You can ask my wife. She will attest to this. Even Friday, the railroad tracks in Sullivan, a lot of them are shut down right now, and there was a road, the only road to get in was blocked off because there was an accident or something like that. We're trying to get to a doctor's appointment. There's no way through, and I'm like, we're just sitting there. I'm like, I'm not sitting here. I'm going to find a way. No matter what way it is, I'm going to get there. So I back the van up. I take off. I'm like, I'm going to find some county roads, cut over. We're 4x4 and off-road in our little minivan and the gravel roads. I'm like, we're going to get there on time. I'm going to fix this. We're going to figure it out. I'm not sitting there. That's normally how I am when I drive. You need to pray for me, my driving skills sometimes. I don't like to stand still. But he says, stand still. You know, it's a beautiful place when you come to the end of yourself. When you come to the end of yourself. It's a beautiful place when you get there. A lot of us think we're waiting on God. Why is God taking so long? But God's like, I'm waiting on you. God's like, I can't move. I can't do anything till you get to the end of yourself, till you stand still, till you get to a place that says, you know what, beyond your own ability, beyond your own strength, beyond your own power, beyond your own intellect. God says, stand still. And when you do, I will step in and do what I can do. You know, standing still is not sitting idly, or it's not passive, but it's actively resting in the promises of God. Trusting in him, in his goodness. Your hope is anchored in the person of Jesus. You know, they didn't even have to fight in the battle. They just had to stand still. I think it takes more faith to not fight than to fight, to put down your sword. Trusting God like that. God says, like, just trust me. I'm able. If they would have fought, they would have lost. But God's like, I'll give you the faith to face it, but you've got to trust me to fight it. Stand still. It says, position yourself, stand still. And he says this, God is with you. God's with you. If I know that, I'm okay. That God is with me. And I found out in my life, there's people that are with you 1 minute, and they're gone the next. If you haven't learned that lesson, that's a hard lesson you might learn in life, that some people are with you one season, and then they're gone the next season. But it's reassuring to know that God is always with you. He sticks closer to you than a brother. He's your ever-present help in time of need. And the valleys and the highs and the mountaintops and the lows and the praises and the defeats, God's like, I'm always with you. It's reassuring to know that he is with us. That gives us confidence. Should give us courage. Give us hope to move forward, that the God of the universe is with us. He's with us. This is what it says in 2 Chronicles 20, 20. It says, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. How do you stand firm? You got to believe. Believe in God and believe in his word, and you will succeed. Now, I really just want to talk to some people this morning. I just want to talk to the person today that maybe you feel like you're in despair, or maybe you feel alone. Maybe you feel discouraged today. Maybe the person today that maybe your salary's greatly diminished. The person today where you feel overwhelmed. The person today that life feels like it's crumbling all around you. Maybe the person today where life feels just chaotic to you right now. To the person this morning that might be dealing with a diagnosis that you've gotten here recently. To the person that just feels discouraged and despair, feeling like quitting, feeling like giving up. I want to talk to you today. And if that's you this morning, I'm telling you this, to get your eyes on Jesus. Get your focus on him. Position yourself. Stand still and know that God is with you. And Jesus, our salvation, he will fight for you. He'll fight for you. Some of us may have came in with a cry this morning to God. And that's okay to come to God and cry. But sometimes our prayer time turns into complaining only. You can come to God with a cry. That's okay, but you can't end with a cry. You've got to end with a praise. And that's what they did. They started off with a cry. God, we don't know what to do. Well, how are we going to do this? And all of a sudden, they had their worship team on the front line saying, give thanks to the Lord for his mercy endures forever. They were praising God. They ended with a praise. And God sent ambushes against their enemies, confused them, and they won the victory because they were praising God. You might came in with a cry this morning, but you've got to leave this place with a praise. You've got to leave here today with a praise out of your mouth. God wants to take your garment of heaviness and give you a garment of praise this morning. You might have anxiety this morning, but God wants to give you peace. You may not feel, you feel hopeless, but God wants to give you hope this morning. God wants to give you joy and peace. You might feel weary, but God wants to renew your strength today. You might feel overwhelmed, but God wants to overwhelm you with his grace and his love this morning. You've got to end today with a praise in your mouth. And sometimes I don't feel like in these moments when I don't know what to do praising God, but that's the very thing you need to do. It's to begin, get up, begin to lift your voice, raise your hands, get in position, and begin to worship him. There's a lot of things going on in our world right now that we don't know what to do. Well, we just need to start worshiping and thanking him for who he is, the great and mighty God that he is today. You got to end today with a praise. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. If I had the worship team come up today, if you came with a cry, you've got to leave here today with a praise. What do I do when I don't know what to do? I go to the Word of God. I position myself. Maybe it's lifting my hands. Maybe it's getting on my knees. I stand still. I begin to trust God. I come to the end of myself. Say, God, I can't do it in my own strength, my own ability, but I'm trusting in you. And know that God is with you.